Welcome to Two Bards, One Mic. Insert interesting music here.
I swear we're actually going to get music one of these days.
Nah.
91.
9-1.
It's almost my favorite proof.
Really?
Oh, no, I guess it wouldn't be my... It'd be my favorite percentage, right?
That would
Either
be
way,
Everclear.
I'm going to die. I'm going to die. I think Everclear is like 91 or 92.
Okay.
180-some-odd proof.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here we are.
Here we are.
Yeah, how'd your week go?
Pretty good, actually. Well, good and bad, potentially. Maybe.
Mm. Oh, uh-huh.
We'll know more tomorrow, I think.
Okay.
So I had the auditions, and I had the callbacks for Z Nation.
Right.
And as luck would have it, I got the Windows Azure Mythbusters spoof commercial.
Nice.
Which shoots on the same 2 days
of
producer callbacks for the Z Nation part I'm up for.
Oh, that sucks.
So either A, I just...
Do the Azure thing.
Don't, well, or, I'm doing that, and either A, the producers don't work around and make the 7th or the 10th available for me to come into, or, but I'm making...
It's Microsoft.
Three episodes worth of Z Nation for 2 days.
Yeah, so. I know Microsoft money.
Yeah.
I'm well aware.
And Jacob Leander is
one of the producers. That's so. Worth it anyway.
Yeah.
Right there. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm really excited. And the fact that I dressed up like Jamie Hyneman and nobody said anything at the audition. I had the white button-up shirt with the long black.
Did you have a...
I didn't have a beret. I thought that would be a little too over the top.
Just I think subtle. It'd be amazing.
Yeah.
It'd be amazing. So, well, congratulations.
Thank you. I'm really, really excited. That's the third Microsoft spot that I've been director, creative, producer pick.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time that corporate picked me as well. So third time's a charm. Yay.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Go blue or whatever.
Yeah. That actually is pretty
brown.
Close.
Yeah. That's it.
No, what? No.
No.
Go brown. Yeah. Yeah. Seriously. Things are looking ups for you.
They are very much ups.
Yeah.
How about you? How was your week?
Well, let's see. So obviously I've been writing for Natural 20.
What? Natural 20?
I know, right?
What's that?
So Natural 20 is the sequel to The Gamer's Natural 1.
Uh-huh.
It's telling the story of Ryan and Monica post the exodus of the gamers from Canada.
Right.
The possible legal exodus. On account of they are the gamers, I'm assuming they're not allowed back in.
Right. Yeah.
So there's a poutine embargo. So I've been writing that. I've been doing a lot of work to sort of. So Natural One, a lot of people love it.
Oh, yeah.
It's not my favorite, but I jumped on the opportunity to make it better.
Yeah.
For me. So this is like, haha, I'm making this for me. No, but I decided to, I felt like the first one was a lot of, it was a good entry, but it was a lot of, you expect what's going to happen, and that's what happens.
Yeah, it's a lot of first act.
Yeah, a lot of setup, punchline, you know. Not enough recovery either on the setup. It's you hit, and then it just kind of, like, a lot of the jokes kind of fall. They work, but they don't work with the next joke, or they don't work with the next scene. You know, and I've talked to Tom about this quite a bit, and so what are you going to do? There are six plus three hands in that soup.
Yes,
I don't know why they weren't just in the kitchen; they were in the soup.
They were in the soup.
So yeah, there were six writers plus three additional writers for a specific scene.
We were ladleless.
Plus, there were a number of. Script doctoring people that happen after that.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly what it looks like when you get a bunch of writers who aren't in the same room together.
Right.
So it feels like a TV show that didn't quite come together.
Mm-hmm.
But Natural 20 is going to be awesome.
Yes.
Because it's got one voice through, well, you know, it's got multiple voices, but it's from a single...
One single writer.
One single writer. It's... you're not supposed to do this. Well, there's mixed feelings on whether or not you're supposed to do this, but I put a lot of... camera cues in the script because I want this to look a certain way that it looks in my head for the jokes. So I've packed quite a few of those in there. And overall, I think it's really funny. You can actually see it if you go to the Kickstarter page, which we'll link below. There is a sample of the first scene on the Kickstarter page that you can check out.
And you can just, if you're listening to this on iTunes or something, go ahead and just go to Kickstarter.com and then search for Natural 20, N-A-T-U-R-A-L, space, 20.
Yes. And that will get you there. But yeah, check it out. That is actually now three revisions behind, roughly. I've made it more Shadowrunny.
Ew.
Sounds gross.
Yeah.
It's like something gray that comes out. Oh, I got the Shadowrunnies again.
I want to make a
Vansel joke. What you get when you eat black market Mexican, right?
Yeah.
You get the Shadow Runnies. I guess if your chips are all electronic. Anyway. So
okay. Just stop.
Natural 20. Go check it out. And we hope to have some more exciting news about that in the near future. We'll keep you posted, but go help out in any way you can.
Yes. And since we sort of segued into that, kind of, I would like to put out a personal plea to everyone. Please go on the Facebooks. Maybe we'll even do a survey like we did before. And let us know the platform on which you your ear holes are joyfully accessing our awesome voices.
Yes.
Because we're trying to make some executive company decisions. And knowing a few more bits of our demographic, are you getting it from the web? Are you getting it from our webpage? Are you getting it from Typhonic Beats, where Linkmaster General has all of the links in the podcast? Are you getting it from an RSS feed? Are you getting it from iTunes, Stitcher, or some other podcast service? We just want to know some of that information. So if you would please look for the Facebook survey.
Did you find us on a thumb drive in a wall? Because that'd be weird, but hey.
Awesome.
Yeah.
At the same time.
Exactly.
And what wall did you find us in?
Oh, it's a data drop. Have you ever? These are cool. These are like people will like chip out part of a brick wall and put a thumb drive in there with data on it and then fill it in with more mortar. And then people will go around town and find them. It's like geocaching.
Oh,
but,
okay.
But, you know, for the Neo Age.
Nice.
So
I like that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That would be awesome.
They rust, though. Those. So, and don't try to, like, line your laptop up and take a cable. Take an extension cable. but, you know, I don't know. I'm on podcast, not a cop. So do what you want.
Yeah.
Additionally, this week, I'll talk about this a little bit, but not too much.
Okay.
So those of you who know, who are very few, will get what I'm talking about. But I also worked with a person we've worked with before on a potential re-release of one of their properties and potentially more of that property. And I cannot say what that property is, but I can say that everyone listening will be very happy if it happens.
Why am I seeing 8-bit graphics right now?
I don't know. So, moving on.
Okay. yeah, so, what did I have? I think that was pretty much the highlight of last... Oh, and the re-release of our new webpage.
Yes.
Go check out twobards.com.
Yes, twobards.com. It's all... Your eye holes can be as happy as your ear holes.
And all lipstick, your other holes.
We've put lipstick on this pig.
Yes,
Kiss
we
away.
Have.
Kiss away.
Kiss away.
We do have some exciting news for today. Should we get to that?
I don't see why not.
Okay.
Why keep these lovely people in suspense any longer? Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, okay. I think you've been
so
here.
Glad the neighbors are making noise because they would have thought that something dropped off.
We have a very special guest today.
We do.
So should we let him introduce himself?
I think we should.
We should. All right. Come on in. And I'll be moving to this mic.
Hi.
And who are you?
My name is Matt Vansel.
We have a cat.
We have a cat.
His actual name is Matthew Richard Vansel, and if you were a Rude Mechanical fan, you'd know that.
Just because you full name me in the beginning of the podcast doesn't mean I have to do whatever you say.
Except that you may have to speak up a little bit louder.
A little
louder.
Bit? Okay.
Yeah.
And
there we
here,
go.
Let me do this.
We'll fix it in post.
Oh. There we go.
Now you can look at us and be at the microphone.
Oh, there we go. Yes. My lack of experience with the technical side of this is immediately apparent. I like to lead with that. Mm-hmm. I like to basically knock things over as I come in, Charlie Chaplin style, only not funny, just kind of sad.
Mm-hmm. Stay away from this bookcase. Christian has already christened it.
Wow.
Christianed it. Speaking of Christianed which, it. Happy Easter to all of you who are into that thing.
Or original Zombie Day.
I like that your neighbors actually adjusted their schedule for revving the engine to match our new podcast schedule.
Yes, it's awesome.
So we were recording at 8 p.m. and they would rev the engine at 8 p.m. And now we went earlier. Man, wow, they put in the real fucking research.
Yeah, I gotta sweep this room for bugs because I think they've got it all timed in.
Maybe they just listened to your podcast.
Hey. If you're our neighbors and you listen to our podcast, quit fucking revving the engine.
Please, and parking in front of my house. You don't live here. Park in front of your own.
I don't live here either, and I park in front of your house.
You're allowed.
Okay. So, Matt, how's it been going? What have you been up to? Let's talk a little bit about you, about Matt. About
sure. Matt, well, about. What have I been up to? I've been working for the last about a year and a half writing a video game for Z2. Which is a video game studio here in Seattle. It makes free-to-play mobile games. And the big news there, and I can talk about this because it's out, is we've been acquired by King.
Aha!
Which has made a little game you may have heard of called Candy Crush.
And, oh, yes.
And whatnot. And so we're very excited because now we have that. The jump was from about middle tier company that you know, have a few million downloads for your games and whatnot to a company whose monthly player base equals about 7% of the world's population. So
wow,
yeah,
every one of them send me invites.
Yeah, and the scope. So the scope of what we're working on just kind of increased dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty much what I have been working on, as well as raising a little boy. Wesley just turned 3.
Oh, good, oh, it's 3. Yours. Okay.
Yes,
okay.
Yes, my little boy.
Some random little boy you were raising in addition to
Wesley.
Yeah.
We got like, Wesley, no, Wesley and a man cub.
Wesley is free range. He's in the backyard. Mm-hmm. He's you know, eating roots. But this one, this is the one. This is an experiment.
We're nature versus nurture. Let's see what happens.
I'm going to end the debate once and for all. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, is this a mobile app like iOS, Android, Windows Phone app, or is this like a Facebook type? The game
it's
that you're working
undetermined
on.
Right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, a lot of that's up in the air. I'm also not exactly sure what I can and can't talk about.
Sure.
Right.
The previous games have all been iOS.
Okay.
I believe they want to move into both because it's a huge market out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
For both of them. And people are really excited about the game. I am.
Cool.
And I'm writing it, which is
title,
nice.
Theme?
Can't say that yet. Mm.
If it's Matt, you can guess it's
genre?
Probably... I'm guessing he's writing a like a slot machine simulator.
Right. Oh, right. I thought
any
it was...
story there.
I right. thought it was yeah. one of those with the hand that reaches out and drags coins towards you.
Oh! Mm-hmm. Do they have a mobile? They've got to have a mobile version of that.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Yeah, okay, of course they do.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're all on Windows Phone.
Quarter Stealer 2010.
Because we don't get
that's apps. Yeah, we don't get any apps.
No.
Well, I've got an Android now, and I still don't get good apps.
Oh. Well,
so,
there you go.
With iPhone, you get good apps. With Windows Phone, they don't develop them for them. With Android, there are so many shitty apps that mimic it that you can barely ever find anything.
Right. So
all
good apps
suck.
Are a good phone. Because with Windows, you get a good phone.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the iPhone. Not a big fan of my Android either, which I'm trying, but it ain't happening.
Hey, a couple more months, buddy. That's all you got to eke it out.
Should we just go ahead and... I'm going to go ahead and take the persona of people listening to this who cannot write in live and say, hey, Matt Vanessa, when's Journey Quest 3 and Game of 4 happening? When they going to? What are you going to do? And how? That's exactly what they all sound like.
Okay,
yes.
I did wonder. I appreciate the authenticity.
Yeah. Mars. It's Mars
I see.
Atmosphere.
I see. Well, Journey Quest 3 is also kind of up in the air. We have had a script now for over a year.
Is it going to release on iOS?
I don't know.
Oh.
We've had a script for over a year. The question is, you know, when can we run the campaign? I know that Zoe still has the Renew JQ site up there and wants to get to a certain threshold before pulling the trigger on the campaign. I think that we're rapidly, though, approaching a point of we're going to do it or we're not.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, it's love the show. I love that what we've been able to accomplish with it. Mm-hmm. But we really can't go 3+ years between seasons and maintain any kind of momentum.
Right.
But when the characters have aged 7 years in a period of 3 days, it's I mean, not to say that the
that's
stakes aren't stressful.
For Christian, though.
That is true. Yeah.
Yeah. Christian ages a year a day.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's okay because like every, you know, 6 months, Lazarus Chamber and he's good again.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. Lazarus Chamber is Jägermeister, by the way. So.
Very, very appropriate. Yes.
So, should we talk about Gamers 4?
Oh, Gamers 4. Yeah. Thing? Gamers 4 is well, it's there's no timeline for that right. I'm aware of.
Well, there may not be for you, but everyone else in the world.
Sorry.
Wants yes. it tomorrow.
Yes, understood that. Not a matter of not people not wanting it, but a matter of when the companies would be right. able to put it out like that. There isn't anything in development right now. I have a basic overview of the idea. I know how it ends. Certainly, mm-hmm. The plan is to actually kind of make this the capper of a Dorkness trilogy,
nice.
As it were, to, you know, resolve these characters' storylines and tuck it away, not end it on a cliffhanger, as we have nice. Every franchise that mm-hmm. we've created. You know, kind of escalate it above where the last one went, you know, Hands of Fate being an escalation up from Darkness Rising, and just kind of take it to a broader extreme. I mean, they are trapped in a fantasy world now, a handful of gamers who know the rules to a fantasy game that doesn't necessarily map over to surviving in a fantasy world.
Mm-hmm.
You can
mm-hmm.
take what you will from that.
Right. So, yeah, I just want to see Flynn finally fail an STD check. It's just the one thing. Do you have to fail it 3 times before you actually get it? Or is that only for, like, the ones that you can't get rid of?
That's for permanent lifelong.
Right.
If it's crabs, yeah, one fail, you got
it. You got
crabs.
It, yeah.
AIDS, 3 fail.
AIDS is a syndrome, not a disease. You're thinking of HIV.
It's got dark.
It did.
It always does. And as always, I stand corrected.
Speaking of AIDS, how do you feel about the whole Indiana thing, Matt? Oh, you didn't hear about that? They closed a bunch of Planned Parenthoods and suddenly had an HIV outbreak.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
Indiana,
I know.
What the hell? You were a northern state. You were one of the most decorated northern states.
Nobody's been talking about that, but that's another thing that Pence closed a shit ton of Planned Parenthood centers and is now dealing with in one small area, the largest HIV outbreak in America. I think just America, right? I don't know. I'll have to double check. I don't want to give the wrong information, but it's like, it's a extremely
big
outbreak.
I had not heard that. That's
yeah.
I really want to make an Indy 500 joke right now, and I just...
Why don't you just turn left right away from that?
Perfect.
All right. They're the pits. I don't know where I'm going with this. So, anything else on the horizon? Or I mean, that's a pretty full plate.
Right, yes. When's the next feature-length season of the show and the next feature
right.
movie coming out?
Yeah. Right, right.
When's the next book coming out?
Next book? Well, that depends also. I've got an idea of what I want to write next.
Uh-huh.
I have not really pulled the trigger on it yet, because there's a number of factors to consider as I'm trying to expand that out mm-hmm. or make that a new front in my work. I've been very pleased and surprised with how Pwned has done mm-hmm. After the campaign. Mm-hmm. Actually, it's getting some good reviews on
nice.
Amazon. Yeah, I got my first report, quarterly report came in and surprised me. So that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. You do have another property that I don't know how much you can talk about.
Mm-hmm.
You've done readings from it at cons before, but I am. It's one of the ones I'm really excited to see something happen with.
Is this Grandmother Clock?
That would be that.
Yes. So Grandmother Clock is actually, it's a dark children's fantasy dealing with overcoming grief. I'll take a step back a bit. A lot of ideas that wind up in the work have come from things I've just kind of collected over the years. Fragments that come out of dreams or daydreams or other times that I'm unconscious, or but I don't necessarily have anything I can put them with, like images of a field of thorns, a floating thorn bush someone is piloting. I remember having this dream when I was 12, a giant's wall that rings the world, ocean where you can't see the water, things like this. But ideas, pieces, and I'll save these, you know, snippets here and there in the journals and various things. And then sometimes a plot will come along that actually, oh, okay, that's what this was for, put them together. Like the title Journey Quest is something I'd had as a, I want to do a fantasy comedy thing, and here's a clever name. I don't know that I'll ever use it, but it happens. Hmm. Anyway, a lot of stuff for Grandmother Clunk coalesced after a very dear family member passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, kind of, that was the snap, oh, I know what the story is now. And I wrote this after I had graduated from film school and got optioned by actually, he's done pretty well for himself in from our class, producer down in L.A., wrote several versions of the script and got it to a point where we were about ready to take it out. But never pulled the trigger on it because mm-hmm. there was always something similar going on. And it's to the point where the type of writing changes you'd need to make are not ones that are improvements to the manuscript, but are because something else similar was out there.
Just differentiated.
Like, for example, I don't know if I can just start spreading. But like, there was a type of creature in the Snow White and the Huntsman movie that is similar, and some people might look at that and go, ah, it's been done. We don't want to do this.
Kristen Stewart?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't want to do that.
So this, and it was one that was, you know, a number of changes I needed to make in order to make it more attractive to potential studios, because you know how hard it is to get anything that is not an existing IP, especially if it would be a high budget IP, mm-hmm. picked up. So made a lot of those changes, but you know, whittling away a piece of my heart each time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so now that it's kind of dormant, that was one that I had really considered, heavily mm-hmm. considered, actually one of the candidates for writing next. The reasons why I sort of did a pros and cons, what should be the next mm-hmm. novel. And the cons against it, some of them are from a strategy position. You know, it's unlike anything I've done before. It is mm-hmm. not a comedy. So there would be an abrupt tonal shift
right.
in departure from the first one, which, you know, Pwned mm-hmm. is very light and comedic and very yes. similar to the kind of work that we've done before.
Right.
Grandmother Clock would be much different than that. But the other reason was more, I don't know that I am ready to do it. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know that I can do it well enough
right.
to convey enough of what I want to. So I feel like I should have a couple other under my belt first.
I completely understand that mm-hmm. that part. And I have to say, if you happen upon a con where Matt Vansel is doing a reading, oh my God, go to it. It is, everyone was welling up in the reading. It was beautiful. So
thank you.
Wonderful, wonderful thing. So how was I had something and I lost it. You got anything? Give me something, because I'm out. I'm flailing, and we don't edit.
Nope, we don't.
I hate you.
This is awesome right now. I'm just gonna let this happen.
Well, we did a tonal shift, man.
We did.
Yeah. Now I will say this.
Mm-hmm. Hollywood is really big about making movies about books.
That is very true, and that's one angle to consider. It is a story that's very close to me, and I would want to get right. And
right.
I see the opportunity, and I don't want to miss
yeah.
it. You know, you got one shot at the dartboard at this point. I'd rather like to walk up to it and stick it in the bullseye. I'm still kind of throwing.
I did
tenure.
That once. I wouldn't. Yeah.
No. Bull was really the target. Pissed. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so on serious note, like on a note of serious, like mm-hmm. downplayed, you know, more down-to-earth scripting. Wolf Cop is on Netflix now. So I think that's something that we should all go take away from and then or go do and come back with next week, is we should all watch Wolf Cop.
Wolf Cop?
What?
It's a cop. Hold on. Who's also a wolf? He's a wow. werewolf. It's ridiculous looking, but it's all practical effects. We're talking like an American Werewolf in London style.
Hold on. When, tell me when that came out.
2012 is when it like filmed, but it just
okay.
recently was released. Like they didn't have distribution, so they just released.
I wonder why that was.
I know, right?
It sounds a lot like as another book that I've read.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
That's what I thought. That's where I went too.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's like, interesting. Huh.
Hmm.
Oh, but it's probably regular lycanthropy as opposed to reverse lycanthropy.
Yes, probably.
So Wolf Cop is normally a human being cop.
Correct.
Who occasionally turns into a wolf.
Correct. Not versus a wolf, who occasionally turns into Cycle of the Wereman thing.
Right.
Right. They're...
Spoilers.
Oh, it's a guy.
Or
it's
when
called
Fur
wolf
comes
cop.
To visit.
There's a cop and a wolf. Sorry to ruin that for you folks. You know, did I tell you about the... I think I've already told this story before, but I don't care. I wanted to do, like, one of my reboots that I wanted to do mm-hmm. for Hollywood, because there was like a 4-year span there where you could throw any idea and they would just buy it if it was a reboot. They would like just be like, yes, we're doing that. I wanted to do a Teen Wolf prequel, because there's one scene, and we're talking like maybe 10 frames, of Scott standing in front of his dad's Vietnam medals. You turn at 16 or 17, somewhere in there, you turn, so he would have been a werewolf in Vietnam. How fucking awesome would that movie be?
Are wolves native to the Malayan Peninsula?
I don't think it matters for this.
Okay.
But yes. Maybe. Wolves are pretty much native everywhere, aren't they? Except for Antarctica? Or am I thinking of spiders? Spider wolf.
Spider wolf man in Vietnam.
It's
sweet.
He was a werewolf who got bitten by a radioactive spider.
A radioactive Viet Cong.
Rio. Oh. Hey, we could finally do a reprise of Cheer Up Charlie. No, I'm going to walk
wow.
away from that one.
Yeah. Walk away, because mine was going to be blatantly
though,
racist.
Though honestly...
As opposed to veiled in humor.
Though honestly, which is the bigger tragedy, that or the actual song Cheer Up Charlie from Willy Wonka?
I'd say the actual
yeah,
song.
Yeah, me too. That's what mm-hmm. I was thinking.
Yeah.
So, well, should we get some questions going and get Matt in on the answers?
Yeah, I think that would work.
Let's do it.
Anything else that you want to cover before we get into... El Cuestiones for our Latin listeners?
Not really, unless there's something else that comes to mind.
Nope.
Things have been pretty uniform for me for a while.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Uniform's great.
I have a pretty mm-hmm. uniform. Wait, yeah. What? Sorry, I was a million
it's
miles
that Catholic
away.
Thing. Okay.
Not
so
all nurses are Catholic, dude. Come on.
Yeah, true. Thomas Brophy writes in from the Twitter sphere. And Matt won't be able to play in this question.
Okay.
So we'll get this one out of the way.
Okay.
Can you see, unless we bring Matt on as a third bard.
We could.
Can you see two bards producing stage plays? If so, what kind? One acts, full length. By the way, happy Pagan Day.
I could see us producing anything, but I would honestly say at this point, if we had any concepts for stage plays, we'd probably... utilize someone who's already been doing it, like Bo is a producer who's been doing it.
Confrontational Theater Project.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. So I don't see us doing it, and I don't see any limits on what we would do if we did.
I think you guys could be producing. In fact, I think you should be producing video content and whatnot.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You got
sure.
You got an amazing voice and a great banter going here, and I would, for one, throw money at either of you for... If you're doing money.
Well, you should go to patreon.com/2bards.
Patreon, you say?
Patreon, I say. Say I.
You did.
I did. And I have.
Hmm. And we want to be producing things.
Yes, and...
plays or otherwise.
Yeah. We've actually been doing fairly well on Patreon and have met our third goal, which is the penultimate goal, but is actually the sort of ultimate goal on account of... The next goal is $7,000 a month.
Right.
But that is
so
the,
share alike.
But that is the produce full time goal where I will quit my job immediately.
I'll quit mine immediately.
Immediately being the immediately after the first payment comes in, because I'm not a stupid person. Well, I that's probably pretty stupid to do that. Yeah. But I'd still do it.
Yeah.
For you. I've done it
all
for
worse. All we need is 6,900 people to donate $1.
Sounds almost like there's a follow-up story there that won't get mentioned.
No, going to happen. All right. So Rob McLennan asks, happy OZ weekend?
Original Zombie.
Oh. I thought it was some Australian thing.
I thought I was doing a marathon of the show.
Oh.
Awesome. Well, in
that was
case,
a second coming. It wasn't fun.
It's a different weekend.
Something about a cave.
Yeah, makes man cave a whole new thing.
Oh, man.
What was your favorite Saturday morning show as a kid? addendum. Sorry, thinking back, we might have had this question recently, but we don't care because we like talking about our childhood.
Yeah, and Matt hasn't given his favorite Saturday morning cartoon show. So my favorite, all-time favorite Saturday morning cartoon show, that's really tough. I think, I don't know, man. I really liked Turbo Teen for the minute and a half it was on. And I don't know. And it wasn't Saturday morning, but I also really liked The Wizard, which was the David Rappaport, Michael, which one's still alive and tall? Michael Rappaport or David?
Michael Rappaport.
Michael Rappaport.
Okay, then David Rappaport from Time Bandits, et cetera, et cetera. He was a toy maker.
Oh, okay.
And it was awesome. It was MacGyver with toys. But that wasn't Saturday morning, so.
I think mine was Justice League.
Okay.
And anything that was on ABC because I liked the Schoolhouse Rocks. So that was really the favorite part of Saturday was getting all the awesome stuff in between my even more awesome Schoolhouse Rock.
I like the Justice League transition sound, that lasery.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. My favorite, it's a tie, was the Smurfs and the Gummy Bears, actually. Both of which were fantasy settings, as you might have guessed.
Oh, this answers so many questions.
So many questions.
Oh, you're gruffy.
And, I like those worlds because they felt really complete.
Yeah.
They felt complete, they felt lived in, they felt like there was actually a continuity between things. Yeah. There was a big external danger that it's like, no, they're trying to kill you. They're trying to kill you and turn you into gold or juice or something. I don't remember. And I think
they didn't juice the bears.
They didn't juice the bears. They just tried to get the rest of it. And I mean, these were shows that
bear juicing's been outlawed in Louisiana. So.
My favorite shows and movies as a kid were ones that I could reimagine myself being a member of.
Right.
You know, never as the lead, just there for the fun. Right?
Yeah, yeah, totally. Totally. I mean, one of my favorite movies when I was a kid was Dragon Slayer.
Oh, yeah.
Not Dragon's Lair, the Don Bluth video game that was still awesome. Don't get
also
me wrong.
Excellent, yes.
Yeah, but... Well,
by the way, wouldn't Brian Lewis be the perfect Dirk the Daring?
Brian Lewis would be the absolute perfect Dirk the Daring.
Kevin Pittman.
Dirk wasn't... He was different. He was more Brian Lewis-y than... Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying Kevin Pittman wouldn't be a great Dirk, but I think...
Certainly making the call.
Brian gets everything else. I want to see Pittman in something.
They had a separate chin animator, man. Brian's got to take it. I don't know if they had a set. That's a lie. I don't know that. That's not a fact. Remember Space Ace? You better, because we're about to be in a game that's very heavily influenced by it.
Uh-huh. Anyway, Dragon Slayer.
Dragon Slayer was one of my favorite movies. Matthew McConaughey. No, that's
a dude from Ally McBeal.
Yes. Where is the baby?
From Ghostbusters 2. They actually used Latin as their magical language.
Yes.
And they pronounced it correctly.
Yes. You're thinking of Reign of Fire.
Oh, yes, I am.
Oh, yeah.
With Matthew McConaughey and Batman.
Right.
Christian Bale. Mm-hmm.
Christian, yeah.
And it's one of my favorite scenes ever, by the way. Absolutely ever. You can throw away the rest of the movie. I love it, by the way. But you can throw away the rest of the movie.
As you should.
The scene where he takes the flask and he's like, it's water. And McConaughey is just like, yeah. And that's it. They're done. There's no more conversation about it. It was just this nice little aside. It's fucking water. Because it would be. Like...
So what'd you love the movie, the Dragon Slayer movie?
Why did I love it? A couple of reasons. First of all, fantastical setting. One of the most amazing movies I'd ever seen at that point. Well, I hadn't seen many movies. I was like, what, nothing? I was probably 6, 7. Boobs, of course. There's a whole underwater scene with the reveal. Oh, and that was the other thing, is a female character pretending to be a male character, but who turns out to be just a badass. That was really cool. And the wizard and his assholery was like the first time as a kid I really felt that evil could be perceived as good. Because people thought the wizard was great, but he was totally living on everyone else's accomplishments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I thought it was a great movie, and I wanted that little necklace that glowed. And
well, it's still one of the best rendered dragons in cinema.
Oh, God, no joke.
Like, it really holds up.
Yeah.
Like, the stop motion on that thing, the combination of the models and the animation just... And this is 1981, 82?
Somewhere around.
You know, it was around the same time. I think it came out before Conan came out, and there was that whole slate of bad sword and sandal movies that were trying to cash in on the wave. So it was this outlier, you know. They weren't doing fantasy at the time.
Right.
And there's this magnificent dragon in it. Yeah.
Oh, it was wonderful. Yeah. Oh, it's fine. The fire, the exploding, like the whole bit with the exploding, and that whole giant practical carcass, and it's smoldering, and you can almost smell it. Just watching the film, it was good. I loved it.
I need to watch this.
Oh, Dragon Slayer is great.
I probably have.
Also,
but...
also one of the great cinematic weapons.
Yes.
Too, because like some of them, like the glaive from Krull, are freaking stupid. This one you want. Like I want that spear.
Yeah, yeah, totally, totally. But yeah, the glaive is terrible. What's really terrible about Krull though is realizing that that guy was in like Voyager later, or no, Deep Space Nine. Guy who played the
Corbin,
yeah, he's in.
Don't take anything from the fact that I know the protagonist's name.
No, I do a little bit.
Or the year where it was made, the place it was shot.
No.
Well, and it also, I mean, it also had, you know, a Cyclops who had a very unique set of skills, and if
one of them was not walking.
Liam Neeson was in that movie though.
Yeah, and Robbie Coltrane.
Robbie Coltrane
was in what movie?
Krull.
Krull.
Oh my God!
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the Spider Lady and the
that was cool. That was freaky.
That freaked me out. That might be why I hate spiders.
That one felt like very much like a D&D campaign.
It was. And then I want to say that the guy who turns into the puppy,
like Ergo the Magnificent,
wasn't he in Willy Wonka as the teacher?
I think it was the snobby teacher.
Yeah, who's like, well, you know, pick 200. I can't do two. Like you're a math teacher. Come on, man. Yeah. Okay. So. Very fun movie, but weapon wise it's ridiculous. I mean, every kid wanted a glaive. Every kid wanted a glaive. We all called it a Krull when we were kids, but every kid wanted a glaive.
What's a glaive?
A glaive is this like star shaped ninja star with blades that come
out. It is the thing I'm thinking of. Okay.
It's like kind of alive, but that's
golden and gaudy. Yeah. Second like stupidest fantasy weapon after the three-bladed sword that fired them from The Sword and the Sorcerer.
Oh, my God.
Starring Richard Maul as the demon. Oh, man. Oh.
Oh, better than Martin Maul.
I love me some bad fantasy.
Yes.
Actually, no. Better than Martin Maul, for sure. Yeah. I'm totally taking Richard Maul over Martin Maul. Just because I love Night Court.
Yeah.
And Batman, the animated series. He was the voice of everything in that. Well, not everything.
Not sure anyway, I know the character everything. Paul Moran writes, since you mentioned how much you enjoy improv, thank God Matt's here, what are some of your favorite style of skits or warm-up games?
You want to go first on that one, Matt?
I mean, it really depends on the atmosphere and the makeup of the people you're working with.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you have a... improv is all about communication and really... And that comes from trust and chemistry. And just the sort of riffing that we do anyway. So, I mean, if it's new people, if we're breaking in, we'll start with some teaching games to try and kind of tune into everyone's wavelength and all. But there are sometimes you can just go out there, you feel good, I feel good, let's do riff a couple of scenes, and we're good to go.
Trust and chemistry. So isn't that the exact same thing that was required in Breaking Bad to sell meth? Like, those are the two things you need.
Trust and chemistry.
You have to be able to trust your Jesse Pinkman and chemistry. So that's what we're saying, I think, is meth is really the secret to improv.
Yes.
For me, I really liked... so same kind of thing. I get thrown into a lot of improv, classically have, with people that I do not know. True, like, come up and do this improv. For that, the warm-up games I like are things like, what are you doing? Or... slideshow is a great one for that because you really start to learn what people think, like just observing slideshow. You know, something like helping hands doesn't work at all for that. You can kind of see what the person with the hands is like, but you don't really get to see what the person who, you know, is the puppet in front is like. So I like those. I'm not a big fan for warm-up games of things like talk show, you know, where you do the talk show interview type stuff. Those are great for actual games, like on stage, but for warm up, they're not as good. The quick fire ones, though, that's why What Are You Doing is probably my favorite, because it's so quick fire.
It's a good one.
Yep.
Let me pull out my Acting for Actors course syllabus that I've been putting together and pull forth for everyone to witness the improv exercises that I've been teaching.
Let's see if we've been doing this right.
Whoa. Stop the recording. So I like the whole yes and exercise, which is and all of these are for beginning improv stuff. So yes and is the cornerstone, the linchpin, i.e. the thing that improv is. You never say no, you say yes, and take it in a different direction, and someone says yes and takes it in another direction, and the opposite of that is the yes but. So kind of building up the mound, breaking down the mound. Mm-hmm. The only questions warm-up game, of which Luke Amundsen is the reigning king, where you can only address each other in questions.
Is Luke Amundsen the only reigning king?
In that, I believe he is. Do you think otherwise?
You had a full stop in there before the
no,
second
that was
question.
A comma.
That's
or a semicolon.
I would no, I would not. You would be
I didn't
judged.
Realize we were playing this game until we just had it.
You would be judged.
Yes, and. Okay. Sit, stand, lie is a great one for physical, mm-hmm. where one person has to be sitting, one standing, one lying down, and talking about a scenario in such a way that everyone changes those positions within the caveat of the story. Mm-hmm. But my favorite, I think, was introduced to me by Mr. Matt Vansel that I found on this big list. And we do it before every Gamer's Live, and it's called
Big Booty.
And I love that, and I tried to teach everyone in class by drawing circles on the board and going, okay, so you stop, and there's the BB, that's the big booty, and then you got the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then it goes over here, and everyone's just looking at me. I'm like, well, if we had more than two people in class, we could do it. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't make sense with two. But yeah, that's one of my favorite, because it actually does things. It energizes you. It forces your brain to work. It's not a destructive or a pick-on. There's no rules other than you say this, you reply that. If you don't, next. Mm-hmm. And it's fun, and more often than not, failing is more fun than succeeding.
Absolutely.
And so, yeah, that's a great question. Love it. The final question of the night goes to Rob McLennan, who asks, do you have a favorite guilty pleasure movie? One that is so bad, it's good.
Well, going back to the early 80s sword and sandal style movies.
Pretty much that's just like a treasure trove. I mean, yeah. We did kind of hit... Wow, yeah.
What's the one Don Early always...
Deathstalker 2.
That's right, yeah.
That if you want, it is the best worst
yes.
fantasy movie... Because it knows it's not serious, it's trying to be in some places. The actress was clearly cast from videos that you would not find at a normal video store.
Oh no! At a normal video store, you would find them. You'd just have to be escorted back to the room.
Right, and it did not try to do anything in continuity-wise with the previous movie. Like, they didn't even try to get an actor who looked like the original Deathstalker.
Right.
Like, about as different as could be. I think it was called Deathstalker 2, Duel of the Titans. There was a duel in it, but there weren't any Titans. Mm. This is also... It was made by this company that... A whole bunch of these movies, they would reuse footage from...
Yes.
Yeah, sort of Lloyd Kaufman and Troma style, where mm-hmm. it's like, well, we paid for that one car flip and...
Sergeant Kabuki Man NYPD.
NYPD. Yeah. So we're going to use this green, you know, Pinto car flip and explosion in every movie after that, regardless of whether
what
it actually...
What the car was.
What it was.
Oh, my God.
But this other company would do that with
right.
footage from other movies, other franchises, anytime we just need that. And there, I mean, they intercut stuff from Deathstalker 1.
Wow.
You know, it was... And it's just terrible. The dialogue, the cut-ins, it inspired the idea for Sword and Sorcery, which, if it ever happens,
right.
pretty cool. The movie's got an exploding midget.
Well, you don't get a lot of those.
Didn't Willow have that? Oh, no.
No.
It was just Warwick's career.
That was an exploding mm-hmm. dragon again. Well, half of an exploding dragon.
That was fine, Warwick. Get back in the suit.
Oh, poor Warwick. Have you guys seen the...
No, we don't like your real face.
Have you guys seen the... this is not a pun. Have you guys seen the short with Warwick Davis... where it's just following him around as he, like, his first time on set. So they're in London.
For Willow?
No, for Star Trek. Or for Star Wars.
Sorry. Oh, for Star Wars.
I almost
okay.
called it Trek Wars. No, but he's basically, it's Warwick's first time on set. He's walking around and asking, like, so, you know, you've got all of the actors. They're like, oh, hey, little guy, where are you trying to get to? And he's like, oh, I think you go on Jabba's pleasure barge, which would be a weird place for an Ewok. But... It's hot. It's sweaty.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a very, very young Warwick Davis. Like, we're talking 15, maybe 16. Mm-hmm. Ridiculously young. little tiny voice at that time. It's a really funny skit, but they just released it. Like, Disney just released it.
Huh.
So check it out. I think I've linked to it.
Or season two of Unexpected Guest or Journey.
Oh, The Idiot Abroad.
The Idiot Abroad,
and go ahead.
He played Wicket,
the Ewok.
Wicket.
He, of course, played Willow Osgood.
Had the cousins Stwoket and Wubbit.
Stwoket and Wubbit. Oh, Wicket. Wicket good. But yeah, it is. So he's also got another show that makes, it's called Short Something, like Short Time. I don't know what it's called, but it's him and his assistants, and it's really funny as well. There's a lot of Reddit GIFs about it.
Ah, okay.
But yeah.
The GIF that keeps on giving.
So that's why they say GIF.
I'll show myself out.
No, it's fine. No, you can stay. As long as you can do it at 15 frames a second and in 256 colors, you can stand right there.
Mine was introduced to me by creepy ceiling voice, Brian Bender.
Mm.
And it is called The Magic Sword.
With Basil Rathbone.
It is a 1962 masterpiece with Basil Rathbone. And they have it is a St. Patrick's Day tradition.
Mm-hmm.
Where he gets a bunch of people together and we play a game. Mm-hmm. And there are various levels of this drinking game. It is not just a drinking game. It is a varied level. There's like the first timer. There's the end. All of the challenges until you get to the upper echelons have two different things. So newbies can't watch other people and drink at the same time they are to play along. They actually have to look at the cards because they have a certain things that they have to drink on, and other people have other drinks. And as it gets higher, more of those mesh together till the highest level that you can play is I'm an Irishman. The level that you cannot play, because you will die of alcohol poisoning within the first 15 minutes, is I'm a fucking leprechaun. And this movie is, it's so bad it's good. If it's a bad movie, I can't think of a bad movie that I like. Now, people will tell me that Hudson Hawk is a bad movie that I think is good. I just think it's a good movie.
It's a fun
that's
movie.
That's good.
It is. I'll agree with those people, though.
Bunny.
Yeah.
Ball.
Oh, my God.
Oh, he was so close. Yeah, so that's mine. The Magic Sword.
I'm going to go with Demon Hunters. No, I'm just kidding. Though, yeah, the first Demon Hunters is pretty guilty. It's pretty guilty. Lot of fun, though.
We were 22.
Yeah, that's not an excuse.
We had never made any. Okay, no. Okay,
that's
an excuse.
No, yeah. I'm just messing with you, man.
It's fine. It's fine.
I was like, okay, I got to call Matt out. But which one's actually going to work? Even the gamers, man, I can't do that. Oh, what about Dead? You know, not Dead Camper Lake, but just Demon Hunters.
Demon Hunters. Yep.
Yeah. All right. No, that's fuck, man. I've got so many just terrible movies. I own terrible movies. I own The Last Starfighter, which isn't a terrible movie. Daryl.
Terrible.
I love Daryl. Remember Daryl?
Who doesn't love Daryl Hannah?
No, not Daryl Hannah.
No, the robot kid.
The robot kid.
Mm.
The, yeah.
D.A.R.Y.L.
Yeah, it'd be the one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, I can't. Digital animatronic robotic youth life form? Something like that?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Off the top of my head, I don't know, but it's something like that. Yeah, that was a great movie and terrible. Because also kind of a kid's horror movie. If you think about it. Like, there's that point when he kind of, like, goes a little off the deep end. Good stuff.
I was thinking reticent androgynous radioactive. Damn it, I had it all in my head.
See, there's the next reboot you need to pitch.
Yeah, no joke.
Yeah, Daryl, a new one.
The gritty reboot.
The gritty reboot.
Yes.
I do have a...
Daryl B. Blood.
Okay, yeah, that's... We're done. No, you can stay. I do like, and don't hit me. I like iRobot, but just to listen to Alan Tudyk's lines because they're so good, and everything else is terrible. And Alan Tudyk like got paid less than everyone else on that film, and he's the absolute, undisputable like just best thing about that whole film. The only good thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
Did you like the little tennis shoes?
The best thing about that film.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really bought iRobot 26049's performance. Thought it was really stand out amongst all the others.
Was that the one where he just died and his eyes rolled back? Yeah, that was a good. He was a good robot.
Yep, just died.
Yeah. So, as Matt brought up earlier, well, he didn't bring up. We brought up, but we're gonna use him as a stepping stone. Our Patreon campaign still going.
Oh yes, we did settle on Patreon.
Patreon, as in you got to pay me. Tree. On. I don't know. There's a mnemonic in there.
I'm in the
tree. $3.
Yeah, I'm in the tree. I'm on the tree. Pay me. Tree fitting. About tree fitting. So we do have our first month's backers in. And
yep.
We are going to give a shout out to everybody at the $5 plus reward tier.
Yes. So thank you to Brad Roberts.
Jennifer Reifenberry.
Trampas Johnson.
Gordon Duke.
Bo Pritchard.
Paula Moran.
Amanda Cook.
Mike Ott.
James Herbert.
Tim Martin.
Rob McLennan.
Lotta Jerv. Are there more down there?
Nope.
Oh, okay. Let's double check. And, yes, there are.
Laura Dammit.
Laura Dammit?
No. All I have here is Laura, but I know which Laura it is. Spokane Laura.
Oh, Spokane Laura. It was in my head, and you said it, and it fell out.
It fell out of mine, too. All I can see is the Red Witch costume.
Yeah, the Red Witch costume.
Anyway, Laura.
I feel terrible, because I know I literally will know your name the second we stop recording. And Tom Brophy. And I'm going to give a negative thank you to Bo Pritchard, just so he breaks even. I'm kidding. Thanks, Bo. Negative. Times negative one. So positive again. You're in good shape. We're looking... This is amazing. It's because you're on two bards. You're not you. Scott's trying to computer, and it's adorable. He's about to say confound it. Adams. Laura Adams.
Yes, Laura Adams. Damn it. Why don't you people put full names on there, Mike Ott?
No. The thing is, you started typing it, and I remembered it before it popped up, which is fucked up.
This is for Mike. For Mike. Spelling his full name in a Patreon campaign.
Yeah, well... It happens.
That's a cat behind you, by the way.
You guys have to go way back to get that reference if you've just started listening.
Yeah. But it's okay. That'll give you incentive.
Yeah.
You could be in on the in-joke as opposed to out on the in-joke.
It's incentivized, by the way, not incentivated. I learned that one the hard way. So.
Oh, the other one that I liked? Mm. This is an actual conversation that I had with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And realized after it came out of my mouth, but I was asking if Mother Teresa had indeed been elevated to the level of saint. Mm-hmm. And I said, has Mother Teresa been satanized? So, satanized is... It's a new word that sounded really weird when I said that.
It still sounds weird.
Yeah.
So it's awesome.
But I thought it was oddly inappropriately appropriate.
It was. So we'd like to thank our guest, Matt Vansel.
Thank you, Matt Vansel.
Thanks, Matt.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Do you have anything else to say before you leave?
Goodbye.
Bye. And Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Whew, thought he'd never leave. If you're listening.
This microphone smells like ham.
Please explain why Matt's microphone smells like ham.
It's Easter.